Hello, hello everyone for this very special night of the reveal. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you. We have a very special treat, very intimate revealing treat tonight, and I'm going to let Deborah tell you all about it. Again, we have you on mute, so to raise your hand, you're just going to simply do star 2. And I didn't tell Deborah this, but real quickly, Deborah, you know, just remind everybody what the reveal, you know, just a real quick, you know, one word, what, you know, why we brought the reveal together. So, you know, so that way people can really drop into what the show is. So thank you and welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. We're glad to be back for another week. We've got an amazing guest tonight. And as always, just remembering, you know, Leonca and I, you know, chose the word reveal because that's really where we are in our lives, and we want the people, the leaders and the speakers and the teachers that come on, we want them to reveal their secrets to you, what makes their life so fun and juicy. And also we want you to let whatever needs to be revealed right now in your life so that you can go to the next level. We want that to happen for you too. So it's a win-win for all of us. And with that said, let me just welcome our guest, Alana Pratt, tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about this woman. Well, first of all, you should know I absolutely adore her. I have a full-on girl crush on Alana. And that's okay. But just to give you a little bit about her, she's been featured on CBS, TLC, Fox. She has been a coach to celebrities. She's a graduate of Columbia. She's a single mom who's battled a war, you know, a body shame like many of us, and sexual guilt that destroyed her confidence like so many of us, took away her joy and her softness. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? But now she's the author of 3 books. She pole dances for pleasure. We were just talking about that. Y'all missed the pre-call conversation. And she knows that when mama's happy, everybody's happy. And she inspires women to embrace their sacred erotic nature to attract all the love and attention they so choose and deserve. She heals men. I love this part. She heals men's emasculated hearts, cures their nice guy, and awakens their noble, badass honoring of women. Thousands flock to her sexy, empowering show, Intimate Conversations Live, every week. And she's here to end sexual violence on the planet, have stupid amounts of joy as a mother to her amazing child, and she really does ooze sensuality, and she so inspires us all to really reveal our sexual nature. So with that said, welcome, my lovely Alana.
Oh, what a beautiful introduction. And I wish we were all like sitting around on this lush, like, you know, one of those shag carpets, and I would run into the room, and I would like pounce on both of you and snuggle you and kiss you and go, oh my God, this is so exciting.
I know. Oh, I know.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so great for you to be here. And, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, we're talking tonight, you know, really about, you know, intimacy and sex and, you know, all that juicy stuff. But, you know, I'd like to know really, I mean, how did you become this, you know, you're so open and you are powerfully vulnerable and you're amazingly sexy and you're so potent. How did you get there when you talk about that, you know, at one point, you know, you didn't have the confidence and you had body shame and, you know, give us a little backstory about how you got to where you are now.
Thank you. I'm a small-town Canadian girl, and I left Canada on my Uncle Phil's 18-wheeler big semi down to L.A. because I was going to make it in Hollywood. And I failed. I guess I was talented enough. I was a dancer since like 5 years old, so I wanted to dance at Disneyland or whatever. So I was good enough, and I was courageous enough, but I didn't have that visa. So, you know, with $40 left to my name, I was going to use
the Visa card that my dad gave me, which was admitting shame and failure and go back to Canada and go work at the pharmacy again, and I was not going to do that. So I stuck it out, and I got a job, and I moved to Japan. And I was dancing in shows.
Japan? Japan?
Yeah, like all the way over to Japan. Yeah.
Wow. Now, that took it some courage, and goodness gracious.
It did. I never sort of tell this little part, but it was kind of scary when I first got there because all the other girls went a week before me because they're, all of our passports got sent to the American embassy, but mine, obviously, Canadian, so it got sent back. So I had to wait another week. So I flew actually all by myself. And
how old were you again doing this? How old were you?
19.
Wow.
And I just figured, you know, if I get there and there's nobody there to pick me up, I'll just get back on the plane and go right back home again. Like, no big deal. But I got there, and there was this man with the little signs, right, that said, Alana-san. And I go, yes, that's me. And he goes, no English. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay. So those little, like, wave the finger hands, come. So into the truck we get, and we start driving for an hour. Okay. Nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, we're not there yet. And he goes, Hungry? Okay, so remember, I have $40, so no hungry. And then he's like 2 hours into the drive. He's like, hungry? I go, no hungry. And then like 3 hours, I'm like, I am going to die. He's taking me off. They're going to cut me up in little pieces. I'm going to die. He goes, hungry? I go, no hungry. He goes, I pay. I'm hungry. I go, okay. So we go to like a Denny's, and I get spaghetti with fish eggs and seaweed on top of it or something gross like that. And then 4 hour drive. We finally get all the way north to this hot spring hotel where my other four girlfriends are, and they come running out. But it was crazy. There was a guy on a stretcher leaving the place. Somebody had died of a heart attack or something. I'm like, oh my God, I'm next. But then my girlfriends ran out, and I'm like, oh, we're going to live. And it was an amazing adventure of doing a show. It was the first time I'd ever worn a G-string and fishnets in my life, sitting around three times a night to be drunk. Japanese men who would, at an onsen, that's a hot spring. So they would go to the hot spring, and then they would drink, and then they would sit around the edge of the stage with their little weenies hanging out. And it was
oh,
like,
my God.
And we would just laugh, and we would do our show. And oh, my God, I haven't told many people about this.
Listen, if you get Leonk and I started laughing now, we're going to have a problem here because, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're painting. You are painting such an incredible picture here. Okay, go ahead.
But it was a really great like wake up call to like this little girl from Canada who was very sheltered and all the rest of it. Because when we would get our first care package in the mail from our choreographer, everybody got like vibrators and all this kind of stuff, and they gave me a crayon book with like Crayola markers, and I'm like, what? I'm like I was the newbie. I was the nerd. I was the young girl. Who had never embraced her sexuality before, and all of these girls, they were so the shit, they were the bomb, they were hot, they knew how it worked.
And so you were sitting over there with your Crayolas.
And you're like, it was so embarrassing. But, you know, we all start where we start, right? And that's what I mean by, like, it was a great experience to, release my shame. And we'd go into the hot spring after the ends of our show, and they're sort of just open, and there's two signs and in, like, Japanese, and one says woman and one says men. So once I learned the right one to go in, these drunk Japanese men would pretend they couldn't read their own language, and they would wander drunk into our side of the hot spring, and we would throw our hairbrushes right for their head. And we'd be like,
oh my gosh.
In the hot spring, but they'd like try to get in and be with us. It was just crazy time. But
wow. But
really fun. Really fun. And
but
then
you know
I moved. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you an even sexier story, but ask me a question and I'll weave it in there.
Well, no, what I was going to say, though, is that, you know, it just says so much about, you know, your character and your, you know, some courage that was within you to, you know, travel across the world,
yeah.
Not the country, but the world,
yeah.
And do something that, you know, it was obviously what you wanted to do. I'm sure there was a lot of people in your life that didn't want you to, but you chose what you wanted. So, I mean, so obviously, yeah, this is, you know, something that is really deep within you. And I didn't know that. That's interesting to know. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Tell me the story.
No, it's no problem. And that's something that I can kind of relay into the listeners as well. I knew there was more. For me, my example was there was more than my small hometown taking over my dad's pharmacy. Now, the way in which I discovered my more, I felt right to go down to L.A., right? And I tried and I tried and I failed. And so one would think you're following your dream and doors are closing and you've gone in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. But that's only if we go in our mind. That's only if we're like, oh, I'm not good enough, and oh, look, this didn't work. But the idea is to feel down past the mind into the heart, into the belly, into the womb. There was this pulse, this ache of something that I knew wanted me to meet it, a river that wanted me to jump into it. There was something pulling me that even with those $40 left, I kept going. I kept making calls. I kept calling new people. Oh, you're a friend of a friend. Can you help me? I didn't give up because something else was pulling me, and I was letting it. And then, boom, left turn to Japan. Like, I just certainly didn't see that one coming. But had I not let that inner yearning have its way with me, and yes, I'm a discerning woman. I'm a smart woman, you know. But I let something else be bigger than my doubts and be bigger than the naysayers. And at 19, I have to say it's way easier than 29, 39, 49. I don't know why. It seems maybe at 49 it'll be easier. I'm 45 right now. But recently the naysayers have hurt way more when there's more on the line. Like I have a child now or you have a mortgage or like there's just sort of more stuff. At 19, I didn't have shit. I was like, fine, let's go. It seemed a hell of a lot easier at the time to go for it. But anyways, back to the story, just so that you can map on listeners to your own life, that take the time to listen to that calling and take the time to be in relationship with the divine and be humble enough to let it know better and guide you. And of course, be aware and make your good choices. But at some point, I just got on that plane and I just figured it out. And so after that initial contract in Japan, northern Japan, some of the girls of the contract left and others of us went down to Tokyo to find work. And there was like foreigners everywhere because up north it was just us. People would run out of their house and literally touch our bodies and our hair because they'd never seen a blonde or African-American or a redhead. Oh, yeah. And the ladies in the hot springs would touch our pubes. Like, and we would just tell each other, just breathe. She's just curious. And like, I want to hit her. Get her hands off her body. It was a comedy show just hanging out up there. But down in Tokyo, it was like foreigners everywhere. So it was so cool. We could handle it again. And then I auditioned for a show that paid twice the money that I'd ever made. And it was at Four Seasons. There was like a literal pagoda in the backyard or of this beautiful Four Seasons hotel. And I get there to the show and I look at all my costumes and there's no tops to any of the costumes. And I'm like, oh shit, that's why they're paying me so much money. The top is down. Oh no. And I looked around at all the other girls, and I'm trying to be super cool because they're all cool. They're like French, Australian, you know, European. They like boobs are normal. They all suntan topless. Like I'm the girl with two heads here, all freaked out about no top. Mm-hmm. Like just breathing. And I'm like, hey, it's cool. Nobody knows me. No big deal. This Four Seasons is not a strip club. It's going to be fine. When I get up on stage, and I was so ashamed to show my beautiful body, I thought, oh, no, it's dirty. And the men on my side of the stage looking at me, clearly terrified. I'm sure I must have just looked terrified, probably trembling lips, et cetera, wobbly in my high heels. They looked at me like I was a piece of meat, and I believed it. And it was horrible. I just went home and cried. And by the second night, because something about me as a good girl, like keep my word even if it's horrible stuff, I looked on the other side of the stage the second night, and the other girls, the men on their side of the stage, they were different. They got the good guys. But as I started to get curious, no, it's the way they were being. These men were sitting up and honoring them like the goddess, and they were holding themselves like they were a goddess.
Right.
And I didn't know it at the time, but there's like an ancient practice, Tonglen, where the monks will breathe in the pain and suffering of the world, and they'll exhale out love and compassion. It's a very, you know, amazing spiritual practice. That's what these ladies were doing. They were breathing in any discomfort or judgment from these gentlemen, they must have been saying something inside their mind, inside their heart, like, I am a goddess, thank you for noticing. And they exhaled that out, and these men literally sat up like little Boy Scouts around a fire. It's like they're like, they're bowing.
Wow.
Yeah, totally true. So I took it on. And that's when it really hit me. You know, this is way back when I'm 20 years old, and now I'm 45 as a teacher. But back then, I was teaching myself. I was learning. These ladies were my teacher to show me that my belief of my body needs some work. What if I could shift from a piece of meat to a work of art? What if I could breathe into
discomfort?
Oh, my God,
that's a tweetable. That's a tweetable right there. I got to write that down.
Yeah.
Say that again. What if I could view my body as...
not. I have a whole CD about it. Yep, it's a not as a piece of meat, but as a work of art.
Not as a... oh, my God. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. But it's just a decision. It's just a point of view.
Right, it is.
Like,
yes, yes.
And from there, you can literally transform a man's attention from, you know, catcalling you to literally showing up in his nobility, which all these years later, as I have all these male clients now, I know how to awaken a man's nobility. I know how to be in my queen, because that's all he wants to do is honor us. But if we don't know, and not like a mind thing, an embodiment, a heart open, courageous, vulnerable, grounded, luscious embodiment of the goddess, of the queen, his king is not going to wake up. His nobility is not going to wake up. His badass is not going to wake up. So we're that powerful, but not by overpowering or doing, more by cultivating who we truly are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's interesting. I think for almost all of us, if we look back as to the some of the choices we made and some of the paths we took, I mean, how perfect for you to be an intimacy expert now. I mean, to have been around the world, to have found yourself as not, you know, just a piece of meat or a body, but more of, you know, a beautiful work of art. And, you know, you might not have found that any other way, right?
It's very true. It's very true. And I want the listeners to know that I'm not like, I didn't figure this out at 20 and it's been like smooth sailing ever since because life is not linear. And when I met my first husband in Japan, he was tall, dark, and handsome, multimillionaire, thought it was super cool that I was the topless girl at the hot club and the model and all the rest of it. But by the time I got back to the States, even on the plane ride back, he was like, "Are you going to wear that?" I'm like, "I've been wearing this for 3 years. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" Well, that's not going to work. Can't wear that. And all of a sudden, I was still insecure inside. I still hadn't healed from my dad and all those wounds. And so I was looking to be saved. I was looking for security from him. And so I changed. I got right into the box that he wanted me in. And all of a sudden, the funky dancer was dressing like a preppy Wall Street wife, living in Connecticut, going to Columbia University, hiding in the closet to meditate, not telling anybody when they said, "What kind of dancer?" I would just crush inside. And I said, "Well, you know, I was ballet, I was trained, and then jazz, and now I go to, you know, Columbia University across the street, Barnard. I take modern dance, yes, yes." And I got very crunchy and very ashamed. And there was nobody that I could talk to anymore. I wasn't surrounded by these pioneering spiritual beings that would travel the world and, you know, be my friends. I was around people that said, "What, you missed the Prada sale? Come on." You know, I'm like, "I don't even know which one Prada is."
Well,
yeah.
I can so relate. And I can so relate. Yeah. And what I'm saying too is, I mean, of course you weren't totally aware. We're never totally aware at 20, you know, what we're going through, that it's going to benefit us at 40 or 50 or whatever. But I mean, your introduction into that, it made an impact, you know. It really made an impact. I mean, I know, you know, the things that I was doing at 20, they are benefiting me now, you know. I had no idea that path would lead me to where I am, but, you know, I think for all the listeners, you know, if you look back, you can see, you know, choices that you made like yours. It feeds into the life path, the soul path, what the divine wants us to do, right?
Yeah.
And here,
it gives,
I mean, go ahead. Yeah.
No, please.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, now you speak to thousands of women and men, which I love, and I want to talk more about that. I love the idea that you're working with men to really, you know, because I do think men feel emasculated. I really do. I mean, I think that's an epidemic, actually. And I love that you're working on that level to, you know, show them, you know, who they really are. But
yeah.
All that stuff was part of the training, you know, and I love to hear people's stories, and I can begin to see how, you know, the life is you know, the tapestry is woven to,
mm-hmm.
you know, take you, you know, where you are truly meant to be, you know, and the teachers
yeah.
and the leaders and, you know, what we're called to do. Yeah.
Thank you.
That just felt like a really big point that I wanted to make, you know, so everyone looks back and can see something that is giving them fuel for the fire of maybe what they're doing now. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like the pathway to our calling has always been laid out before us, even
mm-hmm.
when my best friend died when I was 16. And like that shock, and did I choose to keep my heart open or close it down? And that prepared me to, you know, open my heart again rather than shame myself. And that very practice there helped me to be intimate with myself. When I looked inside of the ashamed little girl, I didn't say, just, you just hide in the corner and you just shut up. That's what you need to do. Like, I could have done that. But because of all these practices of opening my heart and sitting in the fire and loving, maybe I couldn't love her right away. Maybe I had to just allow her and accept her and be curious about her and listen to her and then finally love her unconditionally. That's this beautiful practice that I take people through with my intimacy coaching, because when we look inside, if we can't be with all of us, we can't literally, like, and I have this little visualization that's not how it works, but it sort of helps. If you were to imagine walking up to the divine, the God and the goddess, could you look them in the eye? Here I am. Warts and all. Well, I don't believe we can do that until we've looked inside ourselves to all our different crunchy, wobbly, ashamed, different parts and put our arm around that part of us and said, hey, you know, I might prefer that you know, lose 20 pounds, or I might prefer that you have a husband, or I might prefer that you're not in bankruptcy. I might prefer, but I love you. I love you. Okay, here we go. All of us, let's go, team. You know, and up you go. So that intimacy with self is equal to coming home to the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the stage upon which you even begin a true intimate relationship with another. How can you give or receive that which is not being breathed by who you are? So it's been an amazing path for me, amazing path to hold space for my clients to come home to who they truly are. And it just either... it creates the space to bring in that life partner or to heal a relationship with a child or with a very special person, or it can literally awaken and transform a long-term relationship into a honeymoon stage again, because you see each other with fresh eyes and non-judgment and unconditional love and vulnerability, ladies and gentlemen listening, is sexy.
Yes.
It's
oh,
irresistible.
My God.
It's safety. It's safety to be who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, and finally recognizing, you know, no one has to give you permission anymore. You can just show up. And I know you do that for so many people. And there's one question, though, I want to ask, like, what is your definition? You know, we're talking about, you know, intimacy and sex and all, vulnerability. What is your definition of sexy?
Sexy. God. You actually, in my book, How to Be and Stay Sexy, there's a definition in there right off the bat, and I will butcher it if I try. But to me, it's basically being at peace in your own skin, so much so that you let life have its way with you. And that life energy is sexual energy. And it's a very wide spectrum. So it's all the way from something very tender, very caring, very healing and nurturing, with the energy of like a dewdrop on a leaf,
that's being illuminated by the sun, or the softness of a breeze over a wheat field at sunset that just swooshes across and kisses your cheeks and flirts with your hair. It's like that energy. It also builds. It's very creative and generative and alive, and it's those ideas that you wake up at 3 a.m. and you download them, and it's the next project, and it's the next book, and it's, I need to make a cake, and let's build a, you know, magic garden, and it's that generative kind of energy where you can be playful and present and alive. And that sexual energy also can move into the realm of such eroticism and kinky and naughty and orgasmic and fully splayed wide open, surrendered, take me in a way that I've never been taken past, where I think I end and something else begins, and you just give yourself over to this wildness. And yet it's all throughout the whole through line. It's good. It's true. It's love. It's us. It's the divine having its way with us. So never are we without heart throughout this whole spectrum of sexual energy. And so you can be this way with your kids. You can be this way with your clients. You can be this way with your girlfriends. You can be this way with your lover. You can be this way with the divine. You can say, come on, life, have your way with me today. Penetrate me. Do me. Let's have some fun today, right? You can be this way with nature. It's so a lot. You can go for a walk and literally open up your body and let the Mother Earth just nourish you with this energy that's there, and feel bliss, and maybe not the same as like a specific clitoral orgasm, but you can feel waves of aliveness and bliss. And unfortunately, we think sexy, in our society mostly, is an outside thing. Only for genital copulation, meant to manipulate.
Yeah, like two bodies rubbing together. Yeah.
To get something. It's a manipulation to get something. Like, I'll manipulate you with my sexuality so I can get something, or you'll dominate me and abuse me for my sexuality to get something. Like, it's so unkind. There's no kindness present in the way we've been raised. So I love to redefine that and expand the edges so that you understand your very breath. That is, you know, fueling you and awakening you and illuminating you right now is the very energy that spins this planet and illuminates the stars. And when you let it in, life can become quite exquisite. Mm-hmm. And when you let it in when you're super sad, it can be really soothing and you don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm. I love what you're saying. And now my audience and my lovely Leonka, you can see why I'm so crazy about this woman. I mean, she is so open, and she just oozes life and love and acceptance and non-judgment. And, this is what I'm sure your clients and the people you work with, this is the way that they are able to open up and trust. Yes?
Yeah, I'm so blessed that people tell me things, not only that they've never told anybody else, but quite often things they've never told themselves. Because communication is, in my opinion, a two-way process. Like, you say what you're going to say, but that's part one. Mm-hmm. And then the other person gets it. That doesn't mean agree, but it certainly doesn't mean judge or roll their eyes or not listen or disagree. Right? Because if you communicate your vulnerable truth and the other person doesn't get it, it doesn't complete the cycle, and it stays spinning in your mind for days and years and decades. And it gets really noisy up there. And it's very difficult to hear your truth, drop into that small, still voice within, and follow that yearning that we spoke of that got me on that damn 18-wheeler semi out of Canada when I left, right? And so in my space, whether it's an amazing guest interview like you, Deb, whether it's the... You know, just the other day, my son and I, we were at the grocery store, and we were checking out, and I said, hey, how are you? And the guy looked right at me. He goes, my mom just died.
Aww.
And I went, oh. I go, how are you? And, like, I could totally be with it because my mother's died, and, you know, I'm just this intimate, deep well of non-judgment. And he And then we walked out of there. I gave him some love and what have you. And I just know that I was that angel meant to be in front of him because he needed to be gotten. He didn't need someone to go, oh, I'm sorry. Or, you know, people don't know how to be around difficult things. So they say stupid things that make you feel horrible. He just knew I could get him. He just needed to be gotten. He wasn't broken. He just hurt. He needed someone not to fix that and just let it be okay.
Yeah,
and as I walked out, my son said, wow, Mom, that always happens to you, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah, honey, people always tell me things. The grocery store, the furniture store, it happens everywhere. And then when it's with a client, like I just had this incredible woman here over the weekend, and it was an amazing experience of years of very, very unfortunate events that had occurred in her life. And years, we're talking decades, like 4 decades, of spinning in her head, being in terror. And she skipped out of here, free. She was, I'm free. She goes, I know it happened. They have no trigger anymore. It's gone because I can take them right to the core and hold that potent, tender space. And we don't have to carry around this stuff. We can let it go. But if you don't have someone around you as deep or deeper, you can't let go.
Right.
And that's the humble gift that I've developed.
Well, and there has to be a demonstration in a way, don't you think? I mean, these principles and awarenesses, I think, we all need teachers or people in front of us or mentors or friends who can demonstrate how things can be different. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to shift some of that concretized thinking, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's even, I hear what you're saying as a demonstration, and I just want to like expand on that definition, because it's not reading a book or somebody telling me from my mind, their mind to my mind, what to do. It's really an entrainment. It's a beingness. It's a spaciousness.
It's like an invitation,
breath.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an invitation for our being to surrender and our mind to slow down and our heart to open and those thoughts and feelings and memories and energies and all that stuff to literally release out down into Mother Earth, who will turn them into compost. It's not just say 10 more affirmations or have like some insight.
Right.
It's really a beingness and a spaciousness that, I mean, I can't do for myself. I have my coach. I cannot, I mean, maybe if I sat in a cave for 20 years, but I've got better things to do. So I want efficiency and effectiveness, and I have my coach. And he holds space for me, and then I can hold it even deeper for my clients. So I'm very humble that I'm so not perfect, and I'm a mess on a regular basis, and I'm a master at what I'm a master at.
I love that. I love that. You know, you said something a while ago about, no. Sometimes there's no kindness in sex. And I think that's true. I think for a lot of men and women, it's you know, how do you work with your couples to bring that, you know, back in? I mean, you know, for a lot of people, like you said, it's just like an outside type of event. But it's really internal, though, right? I mean, if you want to have, you know, an expansive feeling of nurturing and ecstasy and all that, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely want the body parts touching. That feels really good. But if all it is body parts touching, I really don't know the difference between my vibrator and a gentleman. So, we want a being who is present. And I love teaching men. I have this report, Get Her to Say Yes. It's my site for guys, and there's a free report there if there's any gentlemen listening. And I talk about a lot of things, but one of them is, I said, penetrate us with your eyes. See my soul. Mm-hmm. Penetrate me with your heart. Go into that place where I trust you. I feel you. I trust that I can open all the way to you. And then penetrate my body and open me wide. Lay me wide open, and I can go on my own. Like, that's these three-pronged approach to really, you know, opening our body, mind, and spirit in the sexual act. So to bring kindness into the sexual act, first, we need to really look at where there isn't kindness. And I think there's so many, the questions I get, I answer questions all the time, Instagram and my videos and my newsletter and all the, I mean, people ask me questions all the time. And
I know. Everybody should sign up right now, alannapratt.com, because her videos are wonderful. People write in all the time, and you give, like, brilliant advice in, like, 3 minutes. you know.
I try. I do my best. I do my best. But one of the, thank you, sweetheart. One of the things that's always so curious to me about that, though, is they give me these questions like, well, have you asked him? Oh, no. Oh, no. Have you talked to her? Oh, no. I'm like, well, what the fuck? maybe just chit-chat a bit about this. So what I'm getting is that the world is really remedial with intimacy and connection. And intimacy in the sense of not copulation, just the sense of, like, being vulnerable and honest and truthful and connected and present. Like, we're not so good at that. We can't sit in the fire. We are so looking to their approval and their agreement in order to be enough. We can't sit in our own space and let it be okay if they don't like us in the moment, or they don't agree with us in the moment, or we don't have an answer in the moment. We just have to sit in the unknown. We're not really good at that. And so when you're triggered and you're scared or you're angry and you don't have any skills to be honest and to sit in the unknown and be an allowance of another person's experience of being human, communication really sucks between people. So yeah, okay, let's just be more kind in our sex. No, that's kind of like putting sprinkles on top of an ice cream cone of shit. It's just not going to work. So what's more effective is, like, not like I give each other boxing gloves, but we sit down and I'm like, okay, we're going to learn to express our truth in a kind way. I'm really hurt. Good. That was good. As opposed to, you're an asshole. Okay, that's not going to get us anywhere. You might be accurate. What he or she did might have not been so kind. But we're not going to get anywhere by triggering each other's defensiveness. Explain that heart open and show them your caca. Show them your wound. Show them your oozing, beaten down heart that the affair happened, or that your parents just died and the other one doesn't get, like, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you tried something new sexually and you got rejected. Like, whatever that, ow, just show them. That's it. Just show them. And the other person, breathe. That's it. Don't fix, don't change, don't comment, just breathe. Just breathe. And so I take them through these conversations, and then they can talk and get rid of the caca and get rid of the crap out of the way, so the connection that's always been there can be revealed. Oh, look at that. We got back to the title of the show.
Yay. Revealed. Oh, listen, you wouldn't believe how many times that word comes up in this show. it's really kind of magical. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, being willing to say it, okay, my heart's broken or whatever, in a way, what you're doing is also teaching us to say it to ourselves, because many times we don't want to feel that, we don't want to see it, we don't want to deal with it, you know, and it just gets, it's like the shadow, it gets pushed back behind us in the shadow, you know.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's a learning for the individuals as much as for a couple, if you're working with a couple.
Let me ask you this, when we are doing that, when we're pushing it back in our shadows, does that show up more in our sex? Like, are you finding that to be the case? Like, I mean, we can see it in other ways, but when it shows up in our sex, isn't it more obvious, I guess?
Yes and no. To me, I see energy. Like, I'm at the point now in my career where everything is so energy to me that I see it everywhere across the board. Most people, when they literally have no clothes on, and they are at one of their most vulnerable points. So, yes, it's going to definitely show up. Like, who's checked out? Who's just going through the motions? Who's not expressing or talking? Who's silent? Whose eyes are closed? You know, these different things will show up in sex where you can really see who's present and who's checked out for sure. But if I was to, like, sit in your kitchen, I could see it happening at breakfast. Easy peasy. I could see who's holding their breath, who's not breathing right now. Like, there's so many ways that you can pick up on it when you really get good at these subtle energies. And there's another curious thing that sometimes happens in relationships. Sometimes the sex is really hot and they hate each other. And what happens, and it's really weird, but sometimes people have been abused sexually growing up and they're turned on by abuse. And those are the people that attract the bad boy or the bad girl, or the people that use them, or the people that have affairs on them all the time, or lie to them, or are flakes, or gold diggers, or, you know, any of these kind of terms over and over and over and over.
what I find is that something happened. They got their heart broken, or they were abused or molested or raped or just dumped by somebody or used back in high school. And there was some part of them that literally a brain synapse got formed, that they were turned on. Their body, their physical body was turned on. Meanwhile, their heart was being crushed. So it's shut off. And the brain literally gets turned on by abuse. And so that's a big one to have to unwire. But actually, that's not even true. It's the same unwiring no matter what I'm doing. It's, you know, we know that a habit takes 21 days, and we know that, you know, hormone receptors are there to, you know, do the fight or flight and the cortisol and all that kind of stuff. If you just stay in the fire with a coach who can hold space like myself, and you change your behaviors, whether it's not going out with a bad boy, or whether it's opening your heart and speaking to your husband, or whether it's loving your body and going out and just being free and alive in your life, not looking for a man, but shining your own radiance. So it's kind of the same across the board. We all get into these safety habits, these survival mechanisms that limit what's possible with relationship with ourself and source and our beloved. And so if you're willing to go through that process, your brain synapses will change, and your heart, your hormone receptors will calm down, and new ones will be formed that create a sense of ease and peace and hormonal balance and oxytocin. And it's a very scientific thing that's actually going on. But it's good to know if there's any listeners who have patterns of abuse that they don't seem to be able to get out of. Hopefully that insight will give them some ideas of why. And we don't need to go back and rehash the story. If it helps, fine, we will. But we're going to be present with what's so right here now. And we're going to breathe. And we're going to feel. And we're going to let go. And we're going to show up. And we're going to create a new life. And I've got your hands, and I've got your back, and we can do it.
Let me ask one more question. I'm sorry. Let me ask one more question. I know it's not on what we thought we would talk about, but recently, but I think it's kind of in the same topic. Recently, we've been hearing more and more about how men have been coming out and saying, well, I was a sex addict. And even the way I say it might have some judgment attached to it, but, you know, what would you do for someone who feels like they might have been a sex addict? So, you know, like the Tiger Woods kind of phenomenon, right? That was, he was like, he had to go to rehab. You know, what approach would you have to someone who felt that they were at that realm?
I'm not very similar. Yeah, it's very true. I'm not a doctor at all. I don't have any numbers or letters or doohickeys behind my name. So it's just Alana Pratt, that's me. So if there's some really intense stuff going on that needs medication or being under a doctor's care, I'm not your girl. However, I've had a lot of people addicted to porn, addicted to sex, women addicted to bad boys. There's addictions to being hurt and abused. There's all sorts of different addictions. And it basically comes down to the same place where you're getting a high off of something that's unhealthy for you. And there's a way of breathing. And it's very, very intense, deep work I go through. But when I'm dealing with people that can never get over being molested or raped, like, it's the same fire we're sitting in. We're going to face something that they don't want to face. And so I don't really know what would have occurred for a gentleman to want to be sex addicted or, well, I do know for porn. I mean, he's not allowed to express his sexual desires. Maybe the church says he's a bad person, so he's going to go hide in the closet. Like, we just need to overall welcome the sacredness and beauty of sex. Hallelujah. General, but to
amen.
Whether it's a man, whether it's a man or a woman, to sit in the part of themselves that they hate, and just sit with that and breathe, because that's really it's the part of us we hate, or another that we hate, and we're not allowed to hate. And it's a good thing that we're not allowed to run around and shoot each other's head off. We'd all be in jail, right? But in the mind, in the sanctity of a guided meditation, you can feel and release things that on the real world we're not going to be doing, but on the imaginary world, the brain and the body doesn't know the difference. And something can be laid to rest. In fact, this one lady had no memory of who must have molested her or hurt her. For all we knew, it was another lifetime because she couldn't see a face. But he was after her. And he's been after her whole life. And she's on anxiety medication. She's never had a relationship. She's freaked out. So I hope this is not too much for the show, but I'll just sort of share what we did. Don't do this alone.
I'm recommending because it's too scary. I think you need a professional to help you walk through something as intense as this. So we basically put him on front and center stage, and I gave her a gun. And she was shaking. And she did her work, and I go, great. And I go, and now his soul, his wounded heart, his wounded soul is going to talk to you. Sit with me. What's he got to say? And he apologized, and he was so sorry, and he was this wounded soul. I said, will you forgive him? And she said, yes. And I go, great. And then the universe came in and took him back to where from whence he came, took him to the light, but he left behind this little ball of light on the stage. And I said, sweetheart, that's for you. And I brought it over, and I said, if you choose, you can put that in your heart, and it will heal everything. Mm. And she did, and it was gone. It was gone.
Wow.
So I am so not a conventional therapist. I am so not a conventional doctor. I don't have any rules about shit.
That's why we love you. That's why we love you.
Well, listen, I mean, Alana, if conventional worked, we would all be healed by now, right?
This is true.
You know, and let me ask you this. On the other side of that, do you feel that if you are in some way wounded sexually, and if both people are willing to use some of these principles you're talking about and really see each other and really honor each other, do you feel that there can be real true healing in the intimacy and the sexualness with someone else?
Oh, for sure. Yes, 100%. For example, I'll give you a personal
example. See, I do too. I really believe that. I really believe it can be healed in the same way it was wounded. If it's done, you know, Yeah.
I had a relationship quite a while back with somebody who had been married for quite some time. They used to go years at a time without sex. I don't think he had a blowjob once during his entire marriage. I think it was like 10, 15 years or so. And then you've got Alana over here. Not that I'm this big whore, but I'm open to sexuality, and I love sex, and I'm a pole dancer, and, you know, I try to keep it toned down when I'm around my son and his friends, you know, et cetera. So we got together, and yet I had been shamed about my sexuality, right? You know, from my first marriage, you know, what kind of dancer and all the rest of it. And so I sort of pulled back a smidge, you know, maybe I'm a little too much, and, you know, I was a little wobbly, and he was a little wobbly, and through our sexual union, we both healed. We both were vulnerable when we were scared. We were both courageous when we wanted to try something. We were both thrilled we could check off things on our bucket list that we hadn't tried before. We were just, and by the end of it, I realized that sex could be nourishing. And I'd had good sex in the past. I'd even had what I'd consider great sex, highly orgasmic sex, like from the rafters sex, awesome. And then it was done. And yet with this gentleman, sex was nourishing, like a good meal, like having taken a week's vacation. Like it just filled a different dimension. It wasn't just genital stimulation and satisfaction. It was soul food. It was heart nourishment, and it was yummy and hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's possible? I'm having that. Yes, that's
I'll
right.
have that, please.
Yeah. Uh-huh, I'll have that, please. So definitely, I think that choosing a noble, safe, honoring partner who you can be vulnerable with, and maybe you could count on your hands how many people you can truly be vulnerable with. Like, you know who you can call 3 in the morning and who you can't. So the idea is not to be vulnerable with everybody you meet. But, you know, you've got your special people. And if you have a partner who can be that with you in an area where you've had your most trauma, it can almost make it sweeter because you walk through the fire with them to the other side.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know that most people really think that, you know, with what you're talking about, I mean, that kind of relationship and that kind of trust and nurturing and safety, that, you know, you can actually heal, even if it is a sexual wound, you can heal it again through sex. Or intimacy. Yeah. So on.
And I also want to be really vulnerable myself because, yes, I'm a master and I talk about this and I have books and I coach and all the rest of it and I'm really good at what I do. And I've just been through quite a difficult custody battle, which didn't come out the way I wanted. The universe has another plan, which was a hard pill to swallow. But another area that I'm becoming aware to heal from is I was really made wrong for my career. I was a quote-unquote life coach who talked about sex and isn't licensed and doesn't have a husband, and it just went on and on. And there was hundreds of pages of tweets and videos where I use sex and I'm an unstable mother and not fit, and it was like this. It was like I was a witch at Salem. And it was very, very painful for something I feel so strongly about from a very deep spiritual level. And then they made me wrong for being spiritual. I didn't have a religion either. So it's just like everywhere I turned, I was so made wrong. And I didn't get that my body went into like shock or shut down, or we're not going to be sexy because sexy, we lost our son about that. We got in trouble about that. So I started to become very like vanilla and kind of like gender neutral. Like I was neutered, and I wouldn't show my boobs and I wouldn't show my legs. And I was just wearing a lot of frumpy kind of loose clothing and not as much makeup. And all my dances at my pole dancing class were either crying or angry. Which one's you going to do today? Crying or angry? Like I just wouldn't even be sexy. I wouldn't even pull my hips. And then I'm like, oh my God, here, the very thing that I teach is the next peel away of the onion of what I need to learn to open again and feel safety again, even though those attacks came, and to clean out the energy that has been lodged in me, or maybe just open up the shields that I've put up and allow softness again. And it's okay that if whoever my next guy tends to be, if the first time we make love, I end up crying for 3 hours. It's like, oh, well, this is just me right now. This is where I've come through. The kinky pole dancers
are so I love that you're saying this to people, because Leonka and I were just having this conversation before you got on about, you know, the judgment of a really sexy, powerful, potent woman. You know, there is more judgment. I mean, you can feel it. You know, like if you're somewhere and a, you know, incredibly hot guy walks in the room, I mean, it's a totally different energy than if a woman, a beautiful, sexy, sensual, potent woman walks in. Man, I mean, you can just cut the judgment with a knife.
Yeah.
You can just feel it. So what do you think about that? I mean, is it still the age, the ancient, you know, cellular, you know, that women are just, you know, can't be sensual and with their bodies? And I mean, what do you think about that, Alana?
And thank you for taking on this conversation for so many of us.
Thank you, welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Like, we're just getting to know each other now, Leonka, but Deb and I have gotten to know each other, and I just love the safety and honor with which to be authentic and real that you guys create space for. So thank you. So, clearly it's not dead. Clearly it's not over, because this just happened, right? So clearly we still have an issue. And I cannot tell you, unfortunately, the emails that I get of how many women have been made wrong. And that our emotions are still being labeled as hysterical. And that our honesty and our heart openness and our, like when I was first willing to let my son live more with his dad than me because he wanted to hurt himself, that was not out of abandonment. That was out of King Solomon courageous sacrifice, but it was twisted that I'm some unstable mom that can't handle pressure. There is still very much an issue. And you were saying earlier, Deb, like everything that's happened in your life is the path to your calling and what you're here to do. And so, yeah, everything that I've done till now has led me to where I am. And I'm curious where my next step will go, because this is kind of big. It's been behind closed doors. Now I'm telling people about it, but I lived in terror of every email I sent out or every tweet for 2.5 years because everything showed up in court. And, you know, whatever you say can and will be held against you. And it was. And so I'm just like, oh, this is my situation, but how many women don't show up authentically, don't speak their truth, don't be the sacredness of their sexuality, are, you know, passed over for a promotion or their feminine bodies,
they start that covering up again, and they're hiding, and just like you were talking about, hiding their bodies or hiding their, you know, their realness or, you know, their joy or, you know, whatever. I mean, we do tend to think, you know, in the state of real judgment, I mean, we'll just retreat and hide all that goodness.
I believe what's next for me is going to not only we'll give teachings around this and stories around this, not just mine but many. I hope this is what the next thing I do on television is, or my next book is, or just whatever is coming next is more of this conversation. And because I mean, God is clever. God is so clever. The universe is so clever because like 5 years, 7 years ago, I got interviewed by probably the top male dating expert out there. Like of all the interviews I do, I went to number one right away. And I have like pretty much as many male clients as I do female clients. And I see that I was invited to see the beauty in men and the richness and depth of their hearts, and to keep my heart open to men and heal men and love men, because I have every reason not to. And a lot of us have every reason not to. And so there's something about what I'm here to say about our bodies and about being a mother and about our sacred sexuality, but it's not against men because they're just as fucked up about it as we are, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we women leave our hearts and we go up into our terrified minds, we are bitches that emasculate them, right? Whether it was, you know, their mothers or whatever happened, okay? So they have their work to do too. And we have our work to do. So it's not about men or women or the rise of the feminine. It's like, to me, it's all about communion. It's about coming home. It's about this enough of a duality. It's about honoring both aspects within us and within the relationship. So I'm not about to, even though it maybe over a bottle of wine, sometimes I bashed my ex or a couple times and gotten shit and got it out of my system. I will admit I have done that in the past, but I'm just here to be real. Like, I'm like, look, you totally lied there. That was an asshole move, and you're doing a great job taking care of our son there. Like, I'm not going to just all pretend I'm some metaphysical woo-woo. Yes, I forgive him, and it was all meant to be. Like, that's bullshit. Yeah. And same with, like, staying on the whole blaming thing, poor me victim. That's not going to work either. There's, like, this new way that I'm very wobbly in but doing my fucking best at. To be and teach. Oh, thanks.
No, you are right there. I mean, this is a new conversation.
Thank you.
And you know, and it's not just about the man woman thing. I mean, women who are powerful and potent and beautiful and sexy, you know, I mean, there's judgment from women too. You know, so it's a new conversation. And you know, you even talk about how do you create intimate conversations with women, you know, because there's feeling of, you know, competitiveness and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, which I love my pole dancing class because it's funny. In general, the competitiveness is not
there.
Can
you come to South Carolina and teach one, my love?
I want to do it. Of course I will. You can get, like, the put them in and take them out, like the removable poles. We'll get one.
Well, listen,
all the
and trust me, us girls in the South, we probably need it worse than anyone.
Well, I would love it. We should put on, like, some sort of workshop and just have a bunch
of
fun.
We should. We absolutely should. And, Leonka, you'd have to fly out, too.
Oh, darn.
Where do you live, Leonka?
I'm in Oregon right now.
Austin. Deborah, that means you have to fly to us. You guys are coming to me. That's going to work.
No, but what I'm saying is the South really needs, you know, because you talk about some, you know, uptight women, you know, I mean, who've been, you know, taught to be, keep their mouth shut and, you know, prance around and, you know, not show anything. And, know, no, I mean, I am going to have you here at some point, Atlanta. I would love for you to do a workshop here because, there's, and it's not just the South. There's a lot of conservative, you know, it's like any conservative area. But you know, what you're saying, this is another new conversation. And this has happened so many times with our speakers, hasn't it, Leonka, on our show, where it feels like we're leading into a brand new conversation,
yeah,
like a new paradigm, you know, all together.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I think it's important that the sisterhood aspect is brought up as well, because, yes, it's within ourselves, it's within our relationships, but it's also within our sisterhood. Like last night at pole dancing, it's normally the same girls every time, but last night a new girl came. She had, like, a perfect body, and she had the hottest clothes, and she was the last to dance. And everybody was terrified to get in the chair, because there's, like, a chair. You can sit in the chair. And
mm-hmm.
you can add lap dancing into your dance if you so choose.
Uh-huh.
And the oldest woman was the only one that had, like, courage to sit in the chair. And this woman was so fucking hot. I noticed my body. I was sitting like a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old. I was like, oh, my God, look at her. She was, oh, I can't even tell you. Like, she's obviously been at it for years. She's embraced all of her different parts that the rest of us haven't yet. And she was like, wow. And I noticed afterwards, like, it was a disconnect. There was a separation present. There was a comparison there.
Oh.
The rest of us all knew each other. We'd grown together. We'd fallen down together. We'd gotten back up together. I've seen somebody's ass naked, like, for months now or years, you know, on a pool bit. But this is somebody totally new. On the scale of what the magazines say, way more beautiful than any of us, way better pole dancer than any of us, and way more self-expressed than any of us. And it was like, you could cut it with a knife. I don't know how to be right now. Should I hate her? Should I love her?
I think that happens all the time, even in, when you go to parties or anywhere, you know, a really beautiful woman walks in and you can feel it. And you can probably feel more judgment from women than anything else, you know.
Right.
Time.
Or judgment of the men looking at her. I mean, all of it, right? And so at the very end, my dance was actually quite emotional last night about whatever I was going through, so I got my gear all up. And what had happened was the woman had ended up going over to talk to the teacher in the corner, because there really wasn't any other welcoming space. And I just went over and I just touched her arm. I said, "You're amazing. Thank you."
Mm-hmm.
And I left, because I did it partly for me and partly for her, because I wanted to broach that chasm that I was feeling in my body.
Yeah.
But it's okay that I will always be probably better dancer than some and always worse than another. I'll always be richer than some and not as rich as, I mean, who cares? Okay. We're all
right.
As who we are. And that's back to intimacy. That's the practice. Can I keep my heart open even now? Can I stay present even now? Can I stay in my body even now? And can I go, if I sat down and talked with her, I'd be like, this is me on my interview shows all the time. I say this all the time. I'm so practiced now. But I'm like, and you did, Deb, too. You said you had a girl crush on me. But it's just like, be real. Like, if you're nervous, be real. This is great on a date as well. Not that you need to be a victim, but it's like, you know, you fart during sex. You just say, okay, I farted, whatever. Or if you're nervous on a date, you're like, oh, my God, you're so amazing. I forgot what I was going to say right now. Like, say it. It's endearing, and it actually brings people closer than the facade of trying to be all perfect that is so not impressive or sexy.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's awesome.
You know, there's, you know, as we talk about, you know, how your life has evolved and how, you know, things that you were doing, you know, early on in your early 20s and how they're coming into play now, you know, you've always been a dancer. And so how do you think dance really can help us women now to really get back in our bodies? I mean, that's obviously something that's been a passion of yours for a long, long time. And, you know, I mean, I know I've gone stretches in my life where I haven't danced for years. And now, and all of a sudden now I'm back to, you know, whether I'm dancing around in my apartment or whether I want to go out dancing, you know. There's something about that. And it goes all the way back to your earliest awareness of even what you're doing now. So I don't even know what I'm trying to ask here, but what does dancing have to do with us really, you know, aside from it, I know it's connecting with the body, but on a deeper level, getting in touch with, you know, who we really are.
Absolutely. To me, every life is a dance because you walk out the front door and you're dancing with the unknown. And so how are you going to be about it, right? Even just getting your underwear on can be a sensual dance of loving your body, the way you pull your breast into your bra or pull up your underwear over yourself. Like, there can be these movements, even as you garden and you bend over and you're like into the earth. Like, everything can be so sensual and pleasurable and nourishing if we let it. From playing in the sand with your kid or just getting all messy and dirty. Like, there's a way that we can embrace life head to toe, immersed, and being penetrated and penetrating every cell of our body, you know, sensing into a moment. Or we can be chin up, strategy, safe. How do I stay in control? How do I stay safe? How do I, you know, get what I want here? How can I take what I need? All that, you know, it's just, it's two different ways of living. And I don't like the scary way of living. It's painful. It's I don't like who I become. I don't like what I feel like. I feel alone. I feel disconnected to the universe. And so I try to not just say, yes, put on music and do these steps. Like, that's, you can, but that's not even really what I'm talking about. It's sort of like you said, like dancing around the apartment, like dancing in your car, even if that's just like the most subtle little hip move. There's even like just something exquisite about breathing, not just from like your like upper chest, but breathing into your heart, or breathing deeper into your belly, or like, I love to tease women, and I said, breathe all the way down to your other lips and talk to me from there. And it's like, I can do that. I'm like, yeah. Or you're like, holy shitters, there's like a whole other world down there. And I said, talk to your children from there. Tell them to make their bed from those other set of lips. I bet you they'll do it. Because it's like you're this embodied creature. It's amazing. So it's so important to love your body. I believe that we shame and judge our body so much, and then we don't listen to it, and then all of a sudden we've got cancer. Or we walk around in pain all day as opposed to being fluid and loving ourselves. We don't know kind touch, so we can't give it. So we don't really even touch ourselves in a kind way. And I'm not talking only sexually touch. I'm talking about slow down when you put the cream on your body. Like, even right now, I think I did this on an interview once, and the woman burst into tears. But I said, just put your fingers on your other wrist and slowly start going up your elbow. And I go 1,000 times slower than that, 10,000 times slower than that. And there's so much sensation there that she just didn't normally feel. Like, for decades, she just never touched herself like that. And not to turn herself on, and not to be, you know, a sexual object and turn another on, but just to love yourself. Like, what a concept. Just to be kind to this beautiful body that gets you up and moves you around every friggin' day of your entire existence. Hi. Hi there, arm. You're so amazing. Right? So, like, wow. We could be so alive and loving, even just to our sweet body. And when we do that, we hear it. It speaks to us. This belly brain, our intuition, the whispers in the back, you know, ventricles of your heart. No, 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 he's not for you. Yes, 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 go in that direction. Like, there's these whispers in our body that's just different from the strategies of the mind to stay safe. That if you can just begin to have this be the way you live, slowing everything down, we're still going to go from A to B. Well, let's go to the car now. We're going to go to the grocery store. And we're in our head. We're already thinking about the list. No. Put your feet on the ground and feel the earth come up and touch you. And then put another foot down and feel the earth come up and greet you. Feel another step and feel how much the earth adores you. Put another foot down and feel how the earth cares that you're present with her right now, how good it feels, rather than you stomping all over her. She's like, oh, you see me, feel me, thank you, hi, right? And you get this rush of energy. You're like, where did that come from? Maybe it's the earth. Maybe, you know, it was there all the time, but we just never slow down to receive it in. So really, it's even beyond dance, Deb. It's like, it's really embodied sensual living and not to get a guy's attention or not to be sexier than her and get the guy. It's just to be happy and peaceful and juicy and kind and grateful. Like, oh my God, we're here. We are, some reason we have breath. We're not in control of that. Something else is actually giving us breath right now. Like if we really all slowed down and breathed and you just let go, the universe will breathe the next breath in you if you let it.
Mm.
And you're being breathed right now. Your heart is being beaten. It's magic that you're even alive. And that kind of deeper connection, sort of like there's the waves on the top of the ocean, but underneath it's all calm. Yes, we still have to take the trash out, do the taxes, and pick up the kids. Okay, we got to stay present. That's cool. But you don't have to leave the undercurrent of the ocean while you're doing all of this. The ocean isn't two parts, well, one part, right? So we can be all of this at the same time. And what it does is it allows you not to be afraid of the unknown, because you're at one in the unknown, inhaling and exhaling. The universe breathes into you, and then you exhale out your choice. And then the universe says, oh, what do you think? Well, I'll give you this. Like, thanks. As you inhale, well, how about a little to the left as you exhale and say that to the universe? It's like this ask, and it's given all the time in your breath, and it allows those difficult things to kind of roll off your back a little more, or you can take that beat or that pause before you say something. And when you see somebody, you don't just look at them, hi. You look that extra beat and they feel seen and that connection's there. It just, your whole life will become more rich and more exquisite, and you'll look sexy. You'll look irresistible. It'll look like you want to look, but the way to get there might be a little counterintuitive, and it's not for anybody else. It's for you and the gift that you are in your radiance to the world.
See, I knew that you could answer that there was I knew there was something more deeper in dancing. Mm-hmm. I knew that you could get there. And speaking of that, I mean, just as a fan of Dancing with the Stars, I have to ask you this. You know, you coached Lisa Gibbons when she was on Dancing with the Stars. Now, you know, here she's, you know, a little bit older. How did you get her into the state of confidence and sexy and trusting herself, you know, when there's all these other amazing dancers on there? I mean.
First off, she's just an amazing kick-ass woman. She didn't really need a lot of help from me. And we didn't do a whole pile of sessions, but they were potent, the ones that we did. And I remember one of the first ones was, we talked earlier about all the judgment. You know, like you don't really have a conversation unless the other one is listening with total allowance. If there's any judgment or defensiveness or make wrong, if it's not actually a conversation. So we have that same conversation with our body, right? So I put her in front of the mirror and I said, okay, so talk to your thighs for me. And it was not pretty. And they were going to be 50-year-old thighs on this, you know, show. And and so I said, what if we have a different conversation, void of judgment, and we start to appreciate those thighs that have walked you into a hospital 3 times to give birth to 3 beautiful babies. And have, you know, walked you through all the different auditions and television shows you've been on, who've walked you through and created all of the Lisa's Place, the care for caregivers. Like, look at these thighs in a totally, and she's like, oh my God. And then, you know, the movement in your hips when you're judging those thighs and you're trying to suck in your tummy is like kind of a very rote kind of, I'm trying. I said, but what if you let the energy of the universe move your hips for you? What if you let the appreciation of the end of judgment and the beginning of appreciation in your thighs, what if you let that joy literally move your hips? It comes from within, and it's just mesmerizing and sensual. And you can make love from there. You can dance on Dancing of the Stars from there. You can walk into a board meeting from there. It's like you start to give yourself over to this energy animating you and moving you. But you can't do it if you're top-down, mind, judging the hell out of your body. And so that's really what allowed her to feel safe in her body. And yes, she exercised a lot, and she was at dance rehearsal a lot. And it was, as a woman leader, that she is, to surrender and be led by her partner. That was a whole other spiritual evolution for her as well. But if you don't feel safe on the inside, you can't surrender. So it was
right.
a very important piece for her to find.
Oh, I think you should say that again. I think that's very important. Say that again, Alana.
What did I just say, Deb?
If you don't
you
feel
uh-huh.
safe, you cannot surrender.
Totally. Yeah. Mhm.
I think that's just big. That just like ding, 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 all, and maybe it was just for me, but I think I might be speaking for a lot of other people. But, yeah, if you don't feel safe, how can you just let go and surrender?
And I think the illusion, and thank you for ding, ding, pointing that out, is that we need safety on the outside in order to surrender. That's wrong. Why? Because can we control circumstances? No. Can we control people? No. We control shit all. No. And that's what we try. We try to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
We're control freaks, and we make people wrong, and we crunch down, and we make these small little lives that can be predictable, and they suck, and it's fun, not fun at all, right? And so we're like, oh, maybe that's just a signal that I'm looking in the wrong place. Yes, it is. Go inside. Now, and the reason why we don't find safety on the inside, as soon as we start looking on the inside, who do we meet? All those parts we've been talking about, the part we're ashamed of and the pain and all the rest of it. So I encourage you to work with Alana and work with Deb and work with Leonka and work with the people that resonate with you. Because
yeah.
you need someone to hold space. If you go into those uncomfortable parts and you breathe and you feel, and with somebody that moves people through in a masterful way, you get to the other side, because the safety is inside, always has been, always will be. And know that. You don't have to know how to get there. That's what people like me, and that's my job. I will get you there. I didn't know how. I needed someone to show me how, okay? So it's not like I'm all perfect or anything, but I'm very good at it now. And then when you can move through all of that, just imagine what it's like to feel safe in your body, on the planet, every day. Wow. Can you imagine
what the world would
be like? Yeah, right?
Yeah, just imagine if we could all get there. Yeah.
And
by
being safe,
how would it be different? Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we can still control the outside just because we're safe on the inside. It just means that we're so connected to all of our faculties, all of our discernment, and we're connected to source, our intuition, our brilliance, everything we're connected to, so that we will make the best decision every time. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you're safe on the inside and nothing ever will happen to you, because that's not how life works. We're here to experience. If you look at a heart, there's two sides to a heart. Being in front of my mother who is dead, keeping my heart open, was the most painful thing I'd experienced at that point in my life. But if you follow that heart around all the way and keep it open, I felt love 9 months later. And then my beautiful baby boy was on my breast. It's the other side of the heart. It was bliss. I could have closed my heart down there because it was inappropriate. My legs were open. I was still birthing the placenta and blah, right? Everybody was around. But I kept my heart open, and I was present to this beautiful baby. And I felt the exact same love at the bottom of that heart that I felt when I kept my heart open to the death of my mom. Because it's not about good and bad, right and wrong. It's about collapsing those dualities. It's all about love. And every path will get you there if you keep your heart open, I promise you.
Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful. I think what I'd like to do now is just, you know, you've made an incredible package for our listeners and incredibly generous. And I would love
right,
for you to.
Right, you don't ever discount it ever. So thank you so much for that. I just wanted to let the listeners know that too, that
yeah,
this is really special for us.
Leonka,
do
you want to go through it and let you and Leonka, you and Alana go through it? It is amazing, and it is. She is only giving a discount to our listeners, so it's such a powerful program, and I'm sure you can all sense, I mean, the power, the potency of Alana and her dedication and passion to, like, creating such change around, you know, such a big shadow subject as intimacy and sex and love and awareness and openness and all the stuff we're talking about. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've go ahead. Oh, thank you. You can talk about it if you want. I just wanted the ladies to know that normally I have a curriculum. It's 30 days called Living Sexy, and it's $297 on my website.
Yeah.
And it's incredible practices that are put together in such a way, from guided meditations to interviews to videos to journaling, everything that I know works. So what is in 30 days is all proven to work, but also the structure works. 30 days. So many of us give up after 11 days or 21 days, okay? But if you go through the 30 days, so it's the content and it's the structure that really works. And there's a workbook at the beginning, so you've got support and how to do it all. But I'm offering it for only $97 because I want
everybody. Oh, my God, that is incredible. That is incredible.
Oh, thank you. I know that my vibration is healing. I know that the work I do works. And I know that if you are willing to step in and dive in and swim with me and find that place of safety on the inside to surrender to your grandeur that's just waiting to bubble and emerge with juiciness and joy, 30 days later, your life will look different. Whether it's single to dating, whether it's dating to engage, whether it's a marriage that's to like hot again, or whether it's I hate my body to damn, slap my ass, nice ass, nice ass. I don't know what it's going to be, and it could be I'm terrified to be on the planet, and now I'm safe. I don't know what it's going to be for you, but it will be something, but you have to do it. And so another thing that I'm going to give away, I don't even think I've told you guys this, my strategy sessions are $597. Because I really value what I provide. For the first three of you who will sign up for the Living Sexy curriculum, the first three of you are going to get a complimentary strategy session along with it so that I can ensure that the time and energy and money that you are spending is you're going to get the results. So there.
Thank you, ma'am. That is beautiful and so generous and is so needed. I mean, right now, you know, our relationships are, you know, I mean, every time you turn around, you know, you hear of a, you know, another person splitting up or going through a divorce or, as you say, you know, custody or, you know, I mean, relationships of all kinds right now are just under such strain. And to be able to come back to ourselves in this way, because we're doing it for ourselves first, right? And then so we can, like, as you described, really, you know, dance with the world. And
I wanted to give them this special website from you guys so that they know where to go. I just mauled out all of that deliciousness. And they're like, where? How? I want to be
there. Yes.
So
from
our site, it's reveal.lianca.com/live. You're just going to click on the listen live if you're already listening now. And there's a big yellow button right under Atlanta's beautiful picture that says special offer. So you can get there from there or you can get there from the special link too. So I think, Atlanta, you have that link. If not, I can look it up real quick and say it out loud.
Oh, no, I have it. So either you're going to do the button that she just talked about or through my site, alannapratt.com, which is spelled ALLANAPRATT.com. If you don't do /reveal, you're going to pay $297. But if you go /alannapratt.com/reveal, it'll be only $97 for you. And the first three orders to come in will get that complimentary strategy session with me as well.
Yay! Oh, my God, that's amazing. It's totally amazing. Well, I am excited for whoever the first three are. And if it wasn't my show, I would be doing it. I think I'm going to look at this class anyway. We've got a couple hands raised, as well as I know you've got some questions on the chat. We've only got a few more minutes. Do you think we can take a question, Lianca?
Yeah, if you want to take this hand raised, we'll see if we can get her on real quick. Let's see. Caller ending in 6026. Thank you for being so patient. You're on live with Elena. Are you there? 6026. Okay. Okay, well then we'll, hello? Okay, we'll go ahead.
Okay. So let's go ahead and take a question from the chat, since I think that the noise, the background noise is going to be a little bit too noisy for the live. But you would ask me to do that in 2 seconds, and I just clicked off of that. So let me see. You guys carry on, and I will pull up the chat real fast.
Well, I still may hold you to coming out and teaching a class out here in the South, Alana. That would be a lot of fun.
Do we lose her too, Alana?
Alana, are you there?
Nope, she can't hear us, or she can't talk with the two. Hi, Alana. Okay, there we go.
Hi.
I got you right. Okay, sorry about that. I think I also muted you too. Yeah, good job.
I know. I was like, Alana, where are you? Don't leave me yet.
Oh. I won't, baby. I'm not going anywhere, and I will totally come down south. Yes, I have my son every first, third, and fifth weekend. So the second and fourth weekends of every month are up for grabs. I do a lot of intensives with people that fly in to do a weekend retreat with me. But the weekends that are free, yeah, let's talk about creating some fun.
We should definitely do that.
Beautiful.
And by the way, I do want everyone to know, too, that Alana runs an incredible show every week. You can go to Alana.com, AlanaPratt.com, and
uh-huh.
She has amazing guests on there and goes as deep as she has tonight and probably even deeper, depending
deeper.
On what the topic
mm-hmm.
is. And it's called Intimate Conversations, and you will learn so much from listening to she and her guests. It's fabulous. So I want you all to check that out as well.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, Leon.
I have a question. This one I think might be, there's two of them here that I think are pretty good. One of them was, my husband is disinterested in sex these days. I worry there is another woman, but I don't want to show up like some jealous, needy woman. How should I address this?
It's like, it's that same question. Well, have you talked to him about it?
Right.
So here's going to be my advice. And you can say, this crazy lady Alana said to do this, so you don't have to take it on your shoulders if he doesn't like it. You can say it was her crazy idea. To make him a lovely dinner or to go out for a lovely dinner and say, well, there's these three questions that we're going to ask each other, and we're only allowed to talk for 30 minutes. And the first one is, tell me something you like about me. And you go back and forth, and the only thing the other person can say is thank you. Not, oh, no, 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 or really? Like, you don't get to talk, just thank you. And so that's going to build some affinity between the two of you. And then the second question, do that for about 5 minutes. And the second question is, tell me something you think we align on. And go back and forth. And again, you can only say thank you. And maybe you will say something like, I think we both align on being honest and having a safe space to talk about things. And he'll say, thank you. And then he'll say, well, you know, and you go back and forth, right? So you kind of set the stage for being on the same team, as opposed to you're on opposite teams, and is he having an affair, and, you know, the fight's ready to erupt. Okay, so we're building affinity, we're building connection and alignment. And then the third question is, tell me something you want to let me know. And again, the other person, the rule is you can't have a comeback. You can't talk. You just have to say thank you. And this is the moment for your bold, vulnerable, authentic conversation with the man that you're married to. And you know, you try not to use you, because you put the other person on defensive. It's more like I feel lonely. I miss your touch. I crave more sex with you. I'm afraid there's someone else. And his only response aloud is, thank you. And then you go back and forth. And you do that for about 20 minutes. And then you wrap up your meal. And the idea is, you don't speak about it again, like directly. You can't use it as ammunition against each other. But it becomes this safe sanctuary to talk about difficult things. Now, I will tell you, I do that very conversation in my sessions with couples. Because quite often couples don't follow the rules, and they don't just say thank you. They break into a fight or something, right? So I can hold a really sacred sanctuary for you if you'd like. And I also believe that you could really do it yourself, and know that not one is better than the other. You're not weak or strong based on other. Asking for help can be the most courageous, smart thing a queen of her queendom could do. To ensure that there's love and respect and that things don't get out of hand. Because if the answer isn't what you want, we're going to have to start diving deeper into a solution. And if the answer is what you want, he's not having an affair, but he's also not turned on anymore, well, we're still going to have to dive deeper into what needs to shift and change within you and him to bring you guys back together. So honestly, give it a go and know that I'm here as a resource. I do sessions of six packages, like 6 hours on Skype or on the phone, and I can hold space for you both. And if you really need it, just like the woman that came out last weekend, you know, a divorce costs a hell of a lot of money and a hell of a lot of heartache. It's worth it to spend a weekend with me and really do some healing work to turn your marriage in the direction that you want it to go. So I would invite you to consider that with me.
I love that. I love that you said that, and thank you for that question, caller. That was a great question, because we don't think about, you know, how much money is spent in a divorce and the splitting up and the, all the stuff that goes along with it and the attorneys and, you know, and if we could look in the beginning, you know, in the beginnings of when we're unhappy or unsettled or feeling insecure or unsafe, if we could begin to have the conversations then, oh, what might could happen, right?
I agree. And many a marriage have I saved, and many a marriage that was meant to complete did I help do so with ease and grace and kindness for the kids and for them. And I don't have a judgment. I'm not God. I don't know what's meant on your spiritual paths, but I can hold honoring space for things to unfold with respect and honor, because there's a lot of unkindness. People act really crazy when there's like the thought of another person or money gets involved and all of that. Our worst self comes out, and I can hold space for your best self to come out and create what it is you're really committed to having.
And you're so right about that, because it's not always about whether you remain together or apart. It's about, and you and I have had this conversation before, it's about stopping the bleeding, really, so that two people can move on and raise their children and be happy and, you know, not have to blow their children's college funds and all that stuff, right? I mean,
right.
So,
And very rarely are people proactive. Normally people don't call me till they're in pain, but every so often someone calls me when they want to take something good to great, because that's really fun for me too.
That is good. Yeah, taking it to great.
Yeah, like women hire me for their 40th birthday or their 50th birthday, and they're like, you know what? It's time for me. And I'm like, because if you value yourself that much, the universe is going to come right on back and value you too. That's how it works.
That is how it works. That's totally how it works. You know, when you start valuing yourself, it does come back. And I love that you said that. And our time is ending, but I've loved everything you've said tonight, and I could probably talk to you for 3 more hours, of course. we'll let our listeners go now, but knowing that I know that they've gained so much from this. I mean, I can talk to you for 5 minutes and you just emit, you know, wisdom each time and impart so much. And I know the listeners, I can't wait to get feedback, because this has been a lovely conversation. And thank you, as always, Alana, for just going with it and going there. And you just, you know, I'm so grateful for you to be, that you're out in the world and that you're demonstrating, you know, this no guilt policy and, you know, how to be real and have no shame and show up in the world and be this big old light that you are. I mean, you know, I adore you.
I adore you too, and your acknowledgement, I receive it to my core, because I, showing up as vulnerably as I do isn't natural. It's a choice. It's a choice to open where I could just try to look good and be cool. but I choose to be real, because it's so freeing. And I want everyone that's listening to know that I want to know their real self. I want to connect with their authentic self. I want that rich, juicy, yummy, out of control, awesome, messy, hot, juicy. Like, I love the life.
Oh my God! We could all I'll just get on a plane and head out there now, you know.
Just be the energy.
I know.
Yeah. I love you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you so much for you,
Alana. I mean, you're such a contribution. So, everyone, check out Alana's program and alanapratt.com, and we'll be back tomorrow night with another show. And in the meantime, I love you, Alana. I love you, my partner, Leonka, and all you listeners. You make it possible for us to really, you know, get down and get revealed. And so we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Any housekeeping? Any housekeeping, Leonka?
You can catch Alana's replay. It should be up tonight. If you missed it, you're really going to want to hear this. It's and if you missed it, you can still hear it again. At or if you just want to hear something new and juicy, it's reveal.leonka, LYANCA.com/live. So the new live call and Alana's replay, juicy replay, will be up there. So thank you, guys.
Great.
Awesome.
All right.
Love.
Check it out.
Kisses to everybody.
Love
Bye.
You. Thank
Mwah.
You. Love Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.